I want to really take time to honor the women in my life who have mothered me. Actually, my story is a little unique in that most of the discipleship and the mentorship that I've received were actually not from men. Majority of the people that were there in significant moments in my life were women. And so I just felt like today, of all days, I want to take a moment to honor some of the women who have impacted my life. And so I also have accompanying photos. The first one, I want to honor my mom. That's my mom right there. That's me, baby Mickey, slain in the Holy Ghost right there. Do I look like my mom? No. Okay, whatever. You know, I was a hard kid to raise growing up. I was the type of kid that my mom would try to spank me, and because it wouldn't hurt, I would just not be fazed, and I would just look at her as she's spanking me, and like nothing. And there was even times where I ran away as she tried to spank me. She would chase me for like 5 minutes, and out of the compassion of my heart, I would say, all right, I'm going to stop and pretend to cry because I feel bad now. And so I would run into the couch and be like, no, and she'd be hitting me, but I'd be like, and so it took a lot to raise someone like me. I am an only child, but I was a handful. And you know I was a handful because my mom did not have any more kids after she had me. But one thing that I learned from my mom, and something that I do really well now, is I've learned the power of affection. Because my mom, she wasn't the best. We had language barriers. But she would always make it a point to show me physical affection. And you know, there's something powerful. Sometimes words aren't enough. Sometimes an embrace is all you need. And so I would remember countless nights where my mom would just, you know, scratch my back, you know, lean my head into her stomach so I could hear the intestines making noises. And I would recall all of these moments, and I realized that through my mom, I gained a value for affection. And so now whenever I do ministry, I see the power in a hug. I see the power in a touch, and I learned that from my mama. And so give it up for Mama Cho. She's amazing. I'll send her this message. The second person that I want to highlight is in second grade, Mrs. Everett. That's my second grade teacher. How many teachers in the house? Hey, make some noise for the teachers. Teachers Appreciation Week this last week. Listen, let me tell you the power of a godly teacher, okay? Because my teacher in a Christian school, I was not yet saved. During recess, she asked me to stay behind and help wipe down desks. And I remember during recess, instead of going out to play, I was with Mrs. Everett in the classroom wiping down tables. And I remember she sat me down and she told me the gospel in a way that I've never heard before. The Spirit was over that moment. And that moment in second grade when I was 7 years old in my classroom when I was supposed to be out acting a fool in recess, I was there on that seat and Mrs. Everett was telling me about Jesus. That's the moment that I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. And so she was the one that really birthed me into the family of God. Unfortunately, about 10 years ago, she passed away because she had a brain tumor. But I think every day, because of what she did for that little boy in second grade many years ago, I'm here right now, walking in my destiny, saved, sanctified, and living for God. And so she very much was one of the people that mothered me. I got two more. In college, in the darkest period of my life, I had a pastor named Pastor Gina. She's the one on the right. And we did children's ministry together, and I'm Jesus or a shepherd or something over there. And this was one of the darkest moments of my life. I was depressed beyond belief. Y'all, I told the story so many times. I was so depressed that I was in front of a fireplace in the dark with no fire lit, curled up. You know, that's how broken and distraught I was. But during that time, Pastor Gina was the one who taught me the love and the acceptance of the Father. And she taught me how to commune with the Holy Spirit in a way that's more than just religious, where I could actually, with every sense in my body, experience God. And so during that season, I learned the nearness and the intimacy and the love of the Father. And of course, the last mother I want to appreciate is our very own Pastor Sunny. Well, make some noise so she can hear in the podcast. See, when I came to Living Hope, I was a hot mess. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I thought, was it hip-hop? Was it ministry? I had no idea. But it was through Pastor Sunny's guidance, through her nurture and her care, that I was really able to step and walk in my destiny. You know, let me tell you something about mothers. Mothers have the ability to set you on course to achieving your destiny and your potential. Pastor Sunny, she never gave up on me, even though I acted a fool so many times. But she continued to nurture and love me in a way where I stepped into the fullness of my calling and my destiny. And guess what? She still does that to this day. Because I have not yet hit my mark, but she makes sure that I do. And so I want to honor my mom, Mrs. Everett, Pastor Gina, Pastor Sunny. Let's give it up for them one more time so they can hear it. They listen to this podcast, so they're going to feel real loved. I also am very aware that this day is very different for many different people. I know there's a broad spectrum of emotions that pop up in different people when you hear Mother's Day or when you hear the word mother. And so I just want to acknowledge, you know, there are people, I'm sure some of you, who are hurting on this day, whether you've lost a mother or you've lost a child, whether you're estranged from your mother or estranged from your child, you know, whether whatever circumstances got in the way so that you couldn't be a mother, whether this happened or that happened. I know that there's a very wide spectrum of emotions that people experience on this day. But for every one of you, I want to make this very clear that no matter what your circumstances, no matter what your history or your experiences, there's a God up in heaven who loves you and who has called you to live a life full of abundance. And so today I believe that there is a word that is going to speak to your heart, that is going to bring you life, that is going to bring you healing, wholeness, and the Spirit of God. Are you ready for that, church? All right, let's get into it. We are going to look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26, okay? And today, what we're going to focus on, because it is Mother's Day, we're going to focus on a very special mom. We're going to learn from the mother of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, typically, this is a Christmas message, but because I love Christmas, I'm bringing Christmas to y'all all year round. And so today we're looking at this verse, and I feel like there are things that we can learn from the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, that we can apply to our lives today. And so why don't we read this story together? You guys could just follow along. I'll read it out loud. Verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Basically saying, "Do you understand biology? This is not how it works, okay?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Let's pray. God, we just thank you, Lord, that today as we celebrate motherhood, God, as we reflect on the strength and the beauty and the power, God, and the joy of motherhood, as we also reflect on the struggle, the pain, God, the challenges of motherhood, I pray that today as we learn from the life of Mary, we would be inspired and we would be convicted by the Spirit to do as Mary did during this time. So God, I just pray that you would open up every heart, you would illuminate every mind, you would remove all the foolishness from my words, and that we would receive the, well, you amen really loud there, Krista. You would receive the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, y'all, I got a video clip. There's this movie that I watched as a kid that just ruined me, okay? And this is a clip from that movie. It features Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
"I just felt it kick. Oh, come, feel it."
"No, I don't think so."
"Come, just feel it. Come here. We need a healing experience anyway."
"Give me a break, will you?
Just do it. Here. Just watch. Be patient. Oh, did you see that?
Ooh,
right there.
Yeah.
Watch this.
His little foot go.
Up there. Oh, it feels so good. Ooh. Can you believe it?
Wait. Larry?
I mean,
what's going on?"
"Why, nothing. What?"
"You were touching him." "Oh, God.
Oh, no. No, no, no. I can't deal with this.
Can't deal with what?
What are you? What are you two, like a... What are you, a twosome?
What?
Whoa, 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 whoa,
what is going on around here?
He's pregnant.
I'm gonna be a mama too.
All right, that's enough. Why don't you cut that clip? I watched this movie as a kid and it messed me up. I'll tell you why. Because as a boy, I was thinking, how amazing must it be for mothers to be able to carry the life of their child in their womb for 9 months and give birth to their child? I would think that mothers have this special connection that I as a father and as a man will never have because they carried a child in the womb. And so I remember as a kid, just entertaining the idea, I wonder what it's like to be pregnant. As a man, I remember thinking, what's it like to be pregnant? Have you guys seen those BuzzFeed videos where those guys hook up those sensors to their stomach and it recreates the pain of labor, right? Have you seen those videos? I would think, I want to try that because I want to know the pain of carrying a child because there's this weird thing about Koreans. We're all kind of weird where we believe the greater the suffering, the greater the glory. And we take that to an extreme. And so I'm thinking, man, there must be so much glory giving birth to a child after caring for 9 months. And I remember as a boy, as a man, thinking, what's it like to be pregnant? I'm so curious. See, as a man, I'll never have that chance to experience giving birth. And as we're reading in the story, Mary carried Jesus in her womb and gave birth to him into the world. But what I want to tell you today is whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, whether you're married or unmarried, we are called to carry Jesus to this world as Mary carried Jesus into Bethlehem. How many of you guys know that? Every single one of us, the calling of sons and daughters is to carry Jesus into our workplace, is to carry Jesus into our schools, to carry Jesus into our relationships, into our families. I want you to know every single one of you here today, you're pregnant. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm pregnant. Look to your other neighbor and say, no, I'm pregnant. Some of y'all, if this is your first time at church, I'm sorry if you're never coming back, but this is just what we do around here. We get a little weird. See, how many of you guys know that we all are pregnant? We all carry something to the world. We all carry something into our workplace, into our homes. We carry something to church, to the streets. The question is, what are you carrying and what are you giving birth to? Now, I want to look at this story. And I think it's amazing that God chose someone like Mary to carry Jesus into the world. See, how many of you guys know that God chooses the unqualified, the overlooked, the underdogs? How many of you guys love an underdog story? Watch the Lakers, right? They're an underdog story. How many of you guys love the story of an underdog? It's not fun when they're really good and then got KD and all that. It's not fun. It's fun when they're the underdog. I'm just kidding. I'm getting so much hate. See, Mary, first of all, was extremely young. She was a teenager. She had no experience being a mother. She wasn't even married yet. She had no life experience to be able to have this heavy burden of carrying Jesus and raising Jesus as his mom. She was unmarried, unexperienced, unqualified, yet God chose her. The second thing, Mary was a woman. And how many of you guys know, culturally at the time, women were less than. They were less than men in status, and their only value was to give birth. Their only value was to rear children. Women in that time were oppressed. And how many of you guys know that? Actually, I believe that women were the most oppressed people group in all of history. And how many of you guys know that in the church especially, I believe that women are the most oppressed people group that come through those doors. For too long, we've silenced women. We've told them that you are not able to lead. You are less than. You are not equal to us. But I love that regardless of all the cultural stigma, regardless of the way that women and young people were looked at, God decided to choose a teenage mom who had yet to be married. And I love this. How many of you guys know that throughout history, God was proclaiming the coming of his son through all of these prophets? And the majority of these prophecies recorded were by men. But how many of you guys know that while the coming prophecy of Jesus was proclaimed by men, God chose a woman to conceive Jesus and actually give birth to the promise, right? How many of you guys know that in the story of Abraham, Abraham was given the promise, you'll be a father of many nations? But how many of you guys know that it was through Sarah that the promise was actually birthed into reality through the son Isaac? Let me tell you something, women. You are more powerful than you think. Let me tell you something. You have the power and there's a grace over your life to fulfill the promises and the calling of God in ways that so many other people cannot. See, it's powerful that God chose a young woman who is not yet married. You know, I see so many and I hear so many stories of salvations of entire families because of a praying woman, because of a praying mom. You know, even in my own family, my mom's the one that woke up my dad at 5 a.m. after I left for college, went to church to do early morning prayer at an ungodly hour, and would pray for my success and for my wife. You see, this is not just a product of my game, okay? It's not just a product of luck. It's the product of a praying mom. And it's powerful because women, God chose a woman to fulfill his promise and bring it upon the earth. And so if Mary wasn't qualified, if she was the underdog, if she wasn't set up to be this amazing mother to Jesus, why did God choose Mary? And it's very simple. It brings us to our first point today. To carry Jesus to the world, you have to make space for him. You see, Mary made space for God. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. It doesn't matter how exalted you are. It doesn't matter what your role or your title is. God doesn't choose people based on ability. He chooses people on their ability to say yes. He doesn't choose people because they're strong. He chooses them because they say yes. He doesn't choose people because they're extremely gifted or up for the challenge. He chooses people because they make space to say yes to God. You know, I thank God that he is like that, because I remember so many times in elementary school when we'd play dodgeball. And you know how it goes. Everyone lines up in a line, right? And because I was a little more rotund than my peers, it seemed as if I was not a good dodgeball player, but oh, in fact, it's the opposite. I am an amazing dodgeball player. I am elusive for my size. But people didn't know that. They judged a book by its cover. And so one by one, people to my left and my right would be chosen. And guess what? I'd be the last person chosen. And that's the worst feeling. But how many of you guys know that God doesn't operate like that? He doesn't choose based on what you look like or how you do or how skilled you are. He chooses people because they make space to say yes to him. Come on, can I get an amen? The question I want to ask you, just like Mary did, do you make enough room in your day and in your life to respond to the Holy Spirit? Do you, throughout your day, even give him a space to speak into your day? Do you give him a time to ask him, God, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to love? What do you want me to hear? What do you want me to say? Do you make space for the Holy Spirit in your day-to-day life, or are you too busy? You know, one of my good friends, I have a man crush on this guy. He's up at Bethel, and he does a lot of outreach with Bethel up in Reading. And I remember we did a full day's ministry, okay? We set up at this water park so that we could give out backpacks to the community. We put on this whole event. He was baptizing people, praying for people. I was doing hip-hop. It was a long day, and I felt like we deserved a break at Jack in the Box. And so after we finished all of our ministry for the day, you know, I was just in total veg mode. Have you guys ever been in veg mode? You know, like you work so hard, you feel like I've deserved this little bit of time, just this little bit of time, just to chill, loosen my pants, watch some Netflix, eat some junk food, just veg out, not worry about anything. And I remember that's the attitude that I started to carry. And so we go to this Jack in the Box and I'm ordering food. I'm so excited just to chill, okay? Jack, who'd worked harder than me all day, not only that, was on his in his fifth day of fasting, wasn't even ordering food that day, was just there with me to support me. All of a sudden, he goes up to the cashier and says, I just feel like God wants to speak something to you. I feel like God says that you have given up some dreams, artistic and creative dreams. God wants you to know, he wants you to pick those things back up because those are part of your destiny. All of a sudden, this cashier, this hard-looking thug dude, just starts crying. You see, for Richard, there was no Christian hat off, Christian hat on. He made space, even in his tiredness, to say yes to Jesus. And I was so inspired by that. I was like, bro, if I was a girl, I don't know, man. You know, I'm not attracted to men, but I just don't know. There's something really powerful and attractive about people who make room to say yes to God. See, God's prerequisite isn't, you know, what the world would see as a prerequisite. That you get your seminary degree, that you take a preaching class, that you're good at evangelizing. God's prerequisite for being used is making space to say yes to him. See, when you make space for God, there's something that actually happens. How many of you guys know that when you make space for God, all of a sudden you find yourself being stretched? See, I will never be pregnant, but I have experienced when I've overeaten. And I've experienced the stretching of my skin and the expanse of my belly getting bigger. And I cannot imagine, scientifically, it doesn't make sense to me how a woman's skin could expand so much. But how many of you guys know that women, when you get pregnant, your skin will stretch? That your belly right now isn't big enough to host a baby, but as it gets bigger, your skin will stretch. How many of you guys know that when you say yes to God, all of a sudden God begins to stretch you? See, when you say yes, you'll be stretched. You'll be uncomfortable. You'll be out of your element. The faith that you had before isn't enough. All of a sudden, you need to rely on the Holy Spirit. You see, Mary, her faith had to be stretched. In that moment, she said yes. Think about it. It's one thing just to give birth to a normal human being, but to be told that you're giving birth to the Savior of the world, I mean, just imagine the pressure of doing that. Imagine how much faith she needed. At that moment, she said yes. All of a sudden, her faith is being stretched. You see, Mary made space to say yes to God. And another question I want to ask you today is, do you make space to be interrupted by God? You see, Mary's life was completely interrupted. I want you to think about how many of you guys have ever planned a wedding, right? Okay, right, a few of you. She raised her husband's hands. Listen, there's only one thing you're thinking about as you're getting ready to get married. It's your wedding. You're thinking about the logistics of the wedding. You're thinking about what life's going to look like after. There's a lot to think about. I want you to imagine Mary as a teenage girl getting ready to get married to Joseph. You know what was on her mind? The logistics of her wedding. She was thinking about, like, how is this, families are coming, what are we going to do to consummate our union? She's thinking about her marriage, a young girl thinking and dreaming about her marriage, and all of a sudden, God interrupts her dream. God interrupts her plans. God interrupts her life in a way, and he says, you know what, I know you're planning your wedding, I know you're excited to get married to Joseph, but guess what, there's something even greater for you. Right now, you are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you are going to give birth to the Savior of the world. The question I want to ask is, do you make space to be interrupted by God? When your agenda is interrupted, do you say, God, I'm sorry, I got to fulfill my agenda, I got to make this thing happen? Or do you make space to let God interrupt you even when you are out of your element and uncomfortable? You see, I remember going to Indonesia. You know, our friends, some of our SOTA members are going to Indonesia soon. And you will find overseas that all of your plans, you have to plan, but all of your plans are going to go out the window. Everything that you plan is just not as it seems. And I remember there was one day I was set to preach one of the big revivals. You know, not just the 30, 50, it's like the 200, 300 people. And I remember I was prepping all day, writing out my message, and I was like, ooh, this is good. You know, there's moments when you prepare something and you're confident. I remember I was writing this message, and I was getting a little prideful. I was like, ooh, this is good. Like, this is good stuff. I was getting ready to preach. I had this game plan, exactly how the message would turn out. And then all of a sudden, 30 minutes before I have to go up and preach, God says, don't preach that message. And there was this temptation in my heart to say, but God, this is an awesome message about you. And I planned this and I prayed into it and I fasted for it and I wrote it out and I rehearsed it. Like, this is the message. And I kept hearing him say, no, this isn't the message. This is the message. Will you hear it? And I remember there was a wrestling in my heart. Needless to say, I decided to go with my agenda. And I remember preaching this message, and there are those moments when you preach and, you know, it's good and it's powerful. There are those other moments when you preach and you didn't do too well, but you knew God moved. No, this was one of those moments where it's like, you see, the question is, do you make space for God to interrupt your life? When you have your plans set, when you have your agenda in the making, see, because Mary, all of her plans were interrupted, and she turned the other way to say yes to Jesus. Now, I want to look at verse 28, because it gets better than bleak, okay? All of a sudden, the angel says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And one thing that you have to learn as you're walking with God is that favor is for God's purpose. It's not for status. See, when you're blessed, if you thought the blessing was for you and you alone, you are missing the point. You are favored and you are blessed for God's purpose. Your favor, your blessing isn't for your comfort so you could live high and mighty, so you could have that title, that position, so that you could walk throughout life without any stress. Listen, the favor and the blessing upon your life is always for a God-given purpose. And if we end it there, then we'll miss out on partnering with God to release his kingdom. You see, Mary, she was highly favored. And she knew that because the task was so mighty, God would enable her to do it. It goes on, and it says, regardless of what the angel said, it says Mary was troubled. You see, if Mary was going to say yes, how many of you guys know that there would be a risk? Number one, she would have to go up to Joseph after this angelic visitation, be like, "Boo, you know, I was planning our wedding. You know, I was thinking about what flowers, you know, I was thinking about where to seat everyone. All of a sudden, this big angel showed up in my room, and he told me that even though we've never done it, and you know we've never done it, we're good. Even though we've never done it, he said, and even though I've never done it with any man, I'm a virgin, God is going to fill me with his child, and I'm going to give birth to the Savior of the world." I want you to imagine that scene for a second, okay? Imagine the risk that she would take to say yes to God and to approach her husband. She was risking losing her husband. She was risking being ostracized by her community, by the people in her village, in her town. She was risking being stoned to death for committing adultery. Who's going to believe her that God impregnated her with the Savior of the world? I mean, even as I'm saying this, if this is your first time in church, this Bible is weird. Like, it's weird stuff. Mary knew that if she was going to say yes, that she would have to take a risk. See, Mary knew it was going to cost her something. Which brings us to our second point. To carry Jesus to the world, you have to pay a price. See, faith that costs you nothing is cheap and powerless. You know, people look at my marriage with Krista, and they assume that, you know, we're just holding hands, skipping through the valley, going home and just laughing and having slow motion pillow fights and all this stuff. They think it's all flowers and glamour. Let me tell you something. Marriage is hard. It's hard work, but it's worth it. But you know what makes our marriage valuable? It isn't that it's easy. It's that it gets hard at times. Is that we poured so much time into working through our issues. Is that we had the hard conversations and many, many tears were cried and many voices were raised. And many times there would be moments where we'd be hopeless. We'd be like, how do two different people possibly live together as one? But what makes our marriage valuable is that it's hard. Is that we work for it. Every blood, every sweat, every bit of energy that we pour into it makes it valuable. And what I want to tell you about your faith is that if your faith costs you nothing, if it's cost you nothing to follow Jesus, it's cheap. It's not valuable to you. But the more you pour out, the more you give up, you find yourself realizing that this faith that I have is so valuable and so precious. Let me tell you, I was a wreck on the day we got married, right? I was completely, if you've seen the wedding photos, I am a hot mess. Like, I could not hold it together. You guys remember, right? Some of you that were there. 1 year later, you know what? As amazing as that moment was at our wedding, I can say right now is even better. And it's not because in my heart there's this elation and this overwhelming joy to love Krista. That comes. But it's because this year we went through the fights. We went through the struggles. It cost us things. We had to die to ourselves. I had to die to myself, y'all. She had to die to herself. But because it costs us something, all of a sudden, it's something that's valuable and more precious than gold. Listen, to carry Jesus to the world, you have to pay a price. For some of you, it may cost you your relationship. It may cost you your reputation. It may cost you your desires and your dreams. It may cost you your agenda and your plans or your expectations. The question is, are you willing to lay it all down to carry Jesus to the world? Because that's who he's looking for. And that's what Mary had to do. See, I have a friend named Matthew, and some of y'all know this story. He is crazy, okay? My friend Matthew, not only does he have big ears, but he has big faith, okay? I think he has big faith because he has big ears because he hears the Lord better through them. But Matthew, I'm sorry if you're listening. And Matthew has this kind of faith that he's willing to put his embarrassment, his reputation on the line to say yes to God. And so I remember this one time, you know, he was with one of his disciples at a restaurant just talking. And he remembered when he came in, he walked by this family dinner, okay? And he felt like God was saying that he was to tell one of the women at that table that she is pregnant and she's going to have a healthy baby boy, okay? Yeah. And none of them looked pregnant, he told me. So he went to the bathroom. He was pacing back and forth. He's like, God, like, number one, I'm in front of the person that I'm mentoring. If he sees me bomb this and get embarrassed, like, what's that going to do? Like, you know? But really, it's about me. Like, I am terrified to do this. It's going to mess me up if I'm wrong. But he made space to say yes. He took a risk. So when he got out of that bathroom, he walked up to that table, looked at that woman and said, you know what? I know this is weird, but I talked to God, you know, and I just heard God tell me to tell you that you are pregnant and you're going to have a healthy baby boy. And he said, I'll never forget this moment, because the woman looked up and she looked him straight in his eyes and said, I'm not pregnant. And Matthew said he was so embarrassed, he started to feel his cheeks get red. But then the woman looked at the person in front of her and said, but she is. And actually, we just found out today that she's having a baby boy. And we're really encouraged to hear that. And see, so Matthew, I don't know why God had him do that, but he made space. He took a risk to say yes to God. And listen, I don't know what that word was for. I don't know what it could have done. But he did say when he walked away from the table, they were happy and laughing about it. So there must have been some blessing or encouragement that got poured out. See, life is risky. Life is actually the one thing that no one's going to get out of life. See, every one of us are going to get to the end of our lives and we're going to die. Okay? Sorry, this is just a true message, okay? You're going to die one day, okay? And actually, we're all dying right now. But the thing is, think about this. So many of us live our lives, and we try to live and tread life so safely, right? You know, I'm going to live safely through my 20s. I'm going to live safely through my 30s, through my 40s and 50s. I'm going to live so safely so that when I get to death, I can die safely. Like, think about that. Think about that. We have only 80 years. The Bible says it's a vapor. Our lives are a vapor in the vast expanse of eternity. But yet we tread through life so safely so that we could get to our coffin and just die safely. To me, that doesn't make any sense. You see, how many of you guys know that Jesus didn't die for you to be comfortable? He didn't die for your comfort. He died to make you dangerous. He died to make you dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. He died so that you would live a life full of risks, full of faith, full of going out on the edge when you don't know what the next step is. Listen, that's what a life of faith is about. He didn't die for your comfort. He died so that you could take risks and trust in him and have faith in him. And we're going to get to our last point. It says, after Mary expressed her troubled and her afraid heart, the angel comforted Mary, and this is what the angel said. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Okay? Now, Mary was afraid. Now, how many of you guys know that fear is your opponent against your destiny? Fear is the thing that's blocking you from your destiny. On the other side of your fear is your destiny and your calling. And for Mary, she was afraid. This was her calling and her destiny, but she was legitimately in every right to be afraid. But through the angel, God's promise to Mary was that she would, number one, not be alone, But then number two, the one who will be with her will overshadow her. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, he's going to overshadow you. See, in other words, Mary made a space for God, but the angel assured Mary that it's not your responsibility to do what only God can do. You don't have to try to figure this thing out. Like, how do I impregnate myself with the Savior of the world without having intercourse? Like, how do I do that? How do I raise the Savior of the world to be the Savior of the world? And the angel said, don't worry. Do not be afraid. Why? Because the Most High will overshadow you. See, Mary had a lot of buts. But I'm young. But I'm not married. But I'm inexperienced. But people are going to look at me this way. And how many of you guys know that a lot of us, we have a lot of buts. I got big buts and I cannot lie. I got a lot of buts. Whenever God tells me to do something, I say, but God, I'm not anointed enough. But God, I'm not brave enough. But God, I'm not experienced enough. But how many of you guys know that the promise over your life isn't that you are strong enough to do what he's called you to do, but that the power of the Most High will overshadow you so that he could do what only he could do. See, our responsibility is to make space, but we can't take the responsibility of the things that only God can do. That is up to him. And what happens is we often allow our natural inability to overshadow his supernatural abilities. We say, God, what I can do is actually more real than what you can do. What I can't do is more real than what you can do. We have to let God overshadow our hearts, our fears, our doubts, our insecurities, our weakness. And this is what the angel was telling Mary. He says, don't worry, don't sweat it. I know it's going to be tough. I know it's going to be risky. But you don't have to do this thing. All you have to do is say yes, and you let me do it. I will overshadow your weakness. I will overshadow your inexperience. I will overshadow you. You know, I remember there was a time when we did a conference called the ABBA Conference, and we did it here in the Bay Area, and we got special guests Brian and Jen Johnson from Bethel Music. And I remember they led us in this amazing time of worship, and then I was sitting up in the balcony, and I was freaking out because after their set, Brian Johnson also came up to the balcony. And he was like my worship leader idol at the time. You know, I had to really struggle with that. But anyway, he walked up to me, sat next to me, and I was so excited. Because I'm sitting next to Brian Johnson. And while PB was preaching a message, you know, randomly he showed me his phone, and he showed me like a picture of a bloodied bear, like a dead bear. He's like, I hunted that last week. It's like, oh, wow, that's really cool. It's like, it was with my crossbow. I was like, wow, okay. And I remember we were just having this connection. Anyway, that's beside the point. After the service, I looked him in his eyes and I said, hey Brian, can I ask you something? Like, how do you feel that tonight went? Like, in your experience, you do this all the time. How do you feel like tonight went in regards to the rest of your experiences whenever you lead worship? You know, because he leads worship everywhere. And I'll never forget what he said to me. And one day I'm going to write a song about it. It's going to be called Brian Johnson. He said, Mickey, I stopped determining success by what I could see a long time ago. I just trust that God is going to do what only he can do. I was like, dang, that's good. That's good. I'm going to write a song about that one day. You see, how many of you guys know that every time Anthony gets up here to lead worship, if he leads worship bad, right, if he just bombs it, and y'all have been there when he's bombed, I'm just kidding. Anthony always does amazing, right? When Anthony gets up here, and if he were just to bomb it and lead worship bad, how many of you guys know that God would still do what he wants to do? If Anthony got up here and he killed it like today, like he was just full of energy, killing it, anointed with the Spirit, how many of you guys know that God will still do what only he can do? See, his ability to lead worship well or bomb it isn't dependent on if God moves or not. Listen, you can't get in the way. Even your stinky failing selves can't get in the way of what God wants to do because it's up to him. God doing what he does isn't dependent on my ability, but it's dependent on his ability. And you know, to illustrate this point, you know, we were in Indonesia. I was with my best man, Christopher, and we were there 1 year in 2012. And we got each sent out to different villages to preach, okay? And the particular village Christopher got sent out to preach, he got a translator, and his name was Obaja. Okay. Now, Baja was a beautiful looking man. He kind of looked like Wario from Mario. But he was really, I mean, he was a beautiful man. He had a great family. He was an anointed pastor. But he was not very good at translating. And so I remember I was sitting with our other translator, Ibu Rina, and we were sitting down listening to Chris preach at this revival. And Ibu, like, he's preaching, and Obaja's interpreting, and Ibu's going, no, 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 no. I said, what's wrong, Ibu? He's like, he's not interpreting right. And so Chris, I think he was talking about a story about crabs or birds or something. He's like, no, Chris is saying a bird ate a bird and gave birth to a bird or something like that. It was just, there was no anointing on it. And I could tell by the people, they were just looking confused. And I remember it wasn't Chris's fault. He was preaching a powerful message, but because it got lost in translation, it just wasn't hitting. But I'll never forget Christopher. I think he sensed it. And so he cut his message short. And in the middle of everyone, he just falls down on his knees. And there's one Indonesian song that we know. He goes, Kumau cinta Yesus selamanya. And all of a sudden, you know, even though he bombed it preaching, all of a sudden the Spirit of God just comes and sweeps through the place. I'm like, what happened? Like, how? Like, connect the dots. I don't get it. See, our inability, our failures and our shortcomings doesn't matter. It's about what he can do. We can't let our inability overshadow his ability. And this is what the angel told Mary. Don't worry, because my ability, my power, my breakthrough will overshadow your weakness. You know, Mary, as a mother, responded in these three ways to the prompting of God. Number one, she made space for him. Number two, she took a risk. She paid a price. And number three, she allowed God to overshadow her. And what I want to tell, especially the mothers in the house and the mothers-to-be, especially women, you know, mothers do exactly what Mary did every single day. Mothers, they make a space for their children. They, even when it's inconvenient, uncomfortable, mothers make a space so that their children can grow up and thrive. Mothers, every day they take a risk. You know, loving is risk. Leading someone is a risk. Teaching someone is a risk. And lastly, mothers actually allow their children to overshadow themselves. They are selfless. You are selfless. You put your child's needs above your own. And we see and we can learn from Mary, and we can learn from mothers all around the world, that these three things, when you say yes to God, when you make room for him, when you pay the price, and when you let him overshadow you, all of a sudden you can carry Jesus to your workplace. You can carry Jesus to your schools. You can carry Jesus to your family. You know, we're in this series, Abba, and honestly, I didn't really preach about that series today. But if I could connect it, how many of you guys know that sons and daughters were called to be ambassadors of God? Meaning that Jesus, his one purpose in coming to earth was to reveal the heart of the Father. And as sons and daughters of God, I want to tell you that your one mission in life is to reveal the heart and the nature of the Father. But to do that, we have to carry Jesus to this broken world. I want to invite the worship team up, and I want every eye to be closed. What does it look like when you bring Jesus to the world? Let me tell you what it looks like. It looks like going into your workplace on Monday when everyone's not excited to be there. It means going to your workplace when everyone's had a crazy weekend hangover and they're not enthused to be at that place. And all of a sudden, because you're there, you infuse life, you infuse joy, you infuse purpose and hope. What does carrying Jesus to your family look like? When your family's going through a troubled time, going through a hard time, all of a sudden, you infuse hope into them. You let them know that Jesus is still in control. What does it look like when you bring Jesus and carry Jesus into your school? It means when everyone's anxiety-riddled about their exams and worried about their grades, all of a sudden there's this peace when they're around you. See, the truth is, a lot of times we carry something less than Jesus to the world. We actually release discouragement in the atmosphere, or hopelessness, or fear, or stress, or anxiety. But I believe as you make space for Jesus, as you say yes to him, as you say, I'm ready and I'm willing to pay the cost, and God, I'm willing to let you overshadow me, all of a sudden, you're filled with the life of Jesus, and wherever you go, the life of Jesus is released. Church, he's looking for people who will make room for him. He's looking for people who are willing to pay the price. And he's looking for a people who will overshadow him. Today I want to ask, are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to say yes to Jesus? Are you willing to say yes to the call to carry him to this broken and this dying world? And so I just want to give you a moment to respond to this message. Whatever God spoke to you, I want you to just to interact with him. I want you to just talk to him. I want you to just hear from him. What is he speaking to you through this message? What is he calling you to do? What is he calling you? How is he calling you to respond? So let's just take a moment to do that. And if we could just end doing this one thing, in honor of Mother's Day, I want you to know that there are mothers who haven't yet, and actually never will, may never give birth, but it doesn't not make you a mother. And I believe that every woman in this house is a mother. Whether you have a natural baby, a physical baby, or spiritual sons or daughters, or you're just birthing hope and joy into the atmosphere everywhere that you're around. So I want to take this moment to honor you mothers. And so if we could have all the women stand up here today, and we just want to bless you and anoint you and pray over you. And so if you're a woman, I want you to just stand up right now, and we just want to take a moment to bless you. The first thing that I feel like God is saying is, we as a church repent for oppressing you, for telling that you were less than, for telling you that you weren't measuring up to the status of pastor or preacher. We repent for stifling your destiny, for saying that you weren't worthy as men of the calling. And I just want to repent on behalf of the church for that. Women, I want you to know that you are powerful, you are fierce, and that you are mighty in the spirit. I want you to know, women, that you have the capacity and the pathway here in our church, in our house, to go as far and as wide as God is calling you to go. There are no restrictions over you. I want you to know that this is a place where you can spread your wings, and whatever God's given destiny or calling over your life is, we will try to fulfill it to the best of our ability. There will be no hindrance to that. And women, I want you to know that you are mighty beyond belief, that your faith moves the mountains, that your prayers actually birth things into the atmosphere. Just like God gave Abraham the promise and through Sarah it was fulfilled, I believe that through you, many promises of God are going to be fulfilled in your lives and in this house. I believe over you, there's a calling and a destiny that goes beyond what you've believed for yourself and what we've taught you to believe. And so right now, why don't we just stretch out our arms toward all of these women, all of these mothers, and let's just begin to bless them in one voice. So come on, let's hear your voice. God, right now, we bless the women of this house. We bless these mothers. We bless these people, God, who you have called and anointed, God. Lord, who you've given the grace to birth the promises of God and fulfill the destinies of God. We declare, Lord Jesus, that these women are mighty. These women are brave and courageous. These women are not less than, they are equal. These women are fierce, mighty, and powerful. That, Lord, you are going to change this world and transform this world and change this city and transform this city through these women. And so right now, we just give them the freedom, Lord, to live out their lives. We give them the freedom to prophesy. We give them the freedom to speak. We give them the freedom, Lord Jesus. Not because they need that permission from us, God, but because we value and honor them. And so we just lift up the women of this house, and we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for the gift that they are to our lives. And we declare many natural babies, and we also declare many spiritual babies, but we also declare the birthing of your promises and the fulfillment of everything that you said was to come. We bless these mothers, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, can you lift a shout offering to the Lord today? Isn't he good? Don't you love these moms? Don't you love these women?